Okay, good morning. Just before we're going to start, Zana asked to share a testimony of what God has been doing this week. So Zana, come and share. Let's put our hands together for her.
About a week ago, I was walking at the beach, just praying for the salvation of my principal. It's been such a long journey, and I'm so excited to see her come to Christ. And I recently read a book about a missionary who went to a cannibalist tribe and how he was praying for a key to see them set free. And then that really touched me, and I just looked at our society and how fragmented Western society is, and everyone is individual. And it just felt that, yo, there's not one key that's going to just set everyone free, like in a tribal context where just one word just saved the whole tribe. And I've been praying for a key for my principal's heart, just to know what is going to unlock her love for Jesus. And then I realized that she really responds well to gifts. And I thought, you're giving gifts. It's just nuts to me. And it's so consumerist. Oh, it's not going to work. So I left it there. And then Friday at school, I was chatting to some of the other teachers. Three of my girls are matric, and they have their matric farewell coming up this week. And it's just so many little thingies. It's hair and shoes and jewelry and this and that and that. And I just said, whoa, it's just, it's really overwhelming me. And then the teacher I was talking to said, no, I must really draw a line. This is too crazy. It's too extravagant. And I said, well, yeah, I don't know really what to say to that. And and then she said, well, just say you don't have money. I said, I'm not going to say I don't have money. Then it's like saying I don't know Jesus. Like, I'm not going to do it. And then she got really angry, and at that stage, like, all the staff around just jumped in, said, no, I'm abusing God. I said, he's fine. He didn't sell a Mercedes chariot this week just to cover the matric farewell. His streets are made of gold. Just relax. I don't know what to do, but he's fine. And the principal walked in, and she was also just saying no, but I'm a bad parent because I'm just too flashy, and what's going to happen when they're not living with me? It's just wrong. And I left to the district office, which usually is not a place of celebration, but I was just glad to go. And and I just prayed. I said, God, I don't know what to do. These people expect me to say, this is it, no more money. And like, I don't know what to do. And then in that moment, God said, he's going to send me money the next day. And it's like the but in the Bible. That's where the nice part comes in. And I must go back to school and tell those teachers he's going to send me money. And that's the budget for all these extra things, because he's extravagant, and his heart is the heart of a father, and he wants to bless them. And he wants the teachers to see that he has this heart of a father. And I just realized all the teachers that were involved in this little thingy actually didn't have good relationships with their fathers, and some of them really hated their fathers. And he had this father message for them. So I've never before gone to lost people and tell them, God is going to send me money tomorrow. Check this out. But I did, and when I got to school, the principal was not in a good mood, running around, shouting things, and I just said, okay, well, oh, by the way, God said he's going to send me money tomorrow, and I will send you the SMS as proof that it's it's date-stamped. I can't trick you. And then after that, I thought, okay, Lord, this one's on you. And I told all the teachers, I said, it's God's heart as a father. He wants to do this for them, so they must check it out. I'm going to forward that SMS. And I wasn't expecting any money. I mean, it's the 21st. I'm thinking, anyways. So I told my girls they need to pray. And the next morning I woke up, I looked at my cell phone, and there was a message and money. And I don't know if it's someone in the church. I don't know. It just says, God's geld, God's money. And I just forwarded that SMS and said, and the response of the principal was just so overwhelming, and I just knew that God really just saw the key of that person's heart, that she responds to extravagant giving in the heart of the Father. And this is what he's doing, and the harvest is coming in, and it's going to be a massive harvest for every lost person whose key is found.
That is a great testimony. For those who don't know, Zana took in seven, she's a teacher, and she took in seven girls that's staying with her, and she's looking after them, and God is providing. Ah, it's amazing. We serve a good daddy, and that's basically what I want to preach on today. I want to answer this question, where faith is found, where faith is found. Faith is found in the Father. Faith is found in the Father. So just to give you, just to sort of get us going here concerning faith. Faith is often a daily battle, especially when you tell teachers there's an SMS coming. Faith is a battle. It's a struggle. It's sometimes almost like a daily wrestling. I experience it sometimes. I'm like on a high on a Thursday night, or when we had Ignite, and I walk out there, I'm like flying. We can take over the world. Next morning, I wake up, I'm like, oh, can I get out of bed? You know, it's like, it's just this, these things that, it's something on the inside that happens in our lives. And it's very much like, I shared this last week, but faith is the currency of the kingdom. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. So if you would be going to Retail Park, and you would be going around to the different shops there, you know, you would need something like a credit card. Hopefully you use it as a debit card. But you would need something so you can pay for what you want. So you're walking into the shop and you want to buy this thing. And so then you have to take out your card and you have to give it to them. And it's sort of, it's a representing the kingdom card. You know, it's your faith. And so I see this picture. It's like the enemy comes and he tries to grab that card out of your hand. He's like a thief, you know. Bible says the devil is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he comes, and it's not the physical stuff that's the issue. I mean, he can have a car. He can the small stuff doesn't really matter. It's just stuff. But if he takes your faith, you're in trouble. If he takes your kingdom card, your ability to access the kingdom, then you are in trouble. And so I experienced like this thief going around trying to take our faith, steal our faith. Because faith is the currency of the kingdom. And I was reading a book this week called Out of the Devil's Cauldron by John Ramirez. He's now an evangelist. Came from New York, but he was an occultist, a high-level occultist. He was a devil worshipper, and he says when he was young, his dad was an alcoholic. His dad would come home and beat his mom up, and it was just and he would just hate his dad, and he would dream and wish that his dad would be killed, and then his dad was shot in a pub, but He was looking for a father, and he shares, I was looking for a father, and every time I'd hope his dad would be that man, and then he wasn't. And then so the devil came to him. He literally heard the voice of the devil speaking to him, saying, I will be your father. And he became his father. And he did all these horrific things. He would go at, in evenings, he would go to clubs and bars and places, and he would be looking for souls. He says, inspired, almost possessed by the enemy to go. And what he would do is he would say he would release spirits of unbelief over people, because he knew if he can get their mind, he will get their heart, he'll get their soul. And so that so spoke to me, how the enemy operates. He wants to steal your faith. He's a thief, and he wants to grab that card, that credit card, your kingdom card. He wants to get it out of your hand so that you have nothing, so you would be transformed from a multi-kingdom billionaire to an orphan on the street. You can't even buy yourself a suite. You see, but when Jesus died on the cross, the blood of Christ was the down payment into our kingdom account. The blood of Christ put that into the multi-millions and billions. Unlimited supply. All you need is faith and you can access it. All you need is faith and you can access it. And so last week I shared a bit about it. But it was amazing to see the sort of this guy's story, his walk, and how he met Jesus and how God flipped his life around. Anyway, so it's out of the devil's cauldron, fascinating testimony of his life. I want to take you just to a scripture from last week and just to refresh, and then we're going to take it into the core of it. Mark 9, verse 18, it says, is a dad who's loving his boy, and his boy is demon-possessed. His boy is in big trouble. And so the dad came, and now he's speaking to Jesus. The dad is saying, I spoke to your disciples, but that they should cast it out, cast out the demon, but they could not. He answered him and said, this is Jesus, O faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Interesting response. Jesus saying, the issue here, I mean, the dad brought the boy. They prayed for the boy. Boy did not get set free. And Jesus is like frustrated. He's saying, a faithless, in another gospel says, and perverse generations. He's saying, the issue here is your faith. The issue here isn't the issue. Your issue is the faith, your faith. And I pick it up with people when we pray for the sick and they don't get healed. We say it's the sovereignty of God. God didn't want to do it today because he is sovereign. And so I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking, well, if you prayed for 100 people and 99 of them were healed, one wasn't, then I give you the license to say it's the sovereignty of God. But if you pray for 100 and maybe one gets healed, maybe the issue isn't the sovereignty of God. Maybe it's our faith. Maybe we should humble ourselves. Maybe we should say, okay, God, I didn't have the faith for this. Increase my faith. Set me free. I mean, we're going to Shofar George this weekend. We're going to do a revival weekend. We're going to go share about the supernatural and minister to them. So I was making a video, and I was actually thinking, and I realized over the last year and a half, 270 people were physically healed. 270 people physically healed. And I feel God is saying that is warm up. That's warm up. We should come to a place where we pray for 100 people, 99 are healed, 99 are set free, 99 whose hearts are restored. But you see, the problem is, and this is what I shared this last week, but just to refresh again, this is what I feel God spoke to me. There's a spiritual cancer in this generation which is far worse than physical cancer. It is called unbelief. It is deadly and it kills many. It causes hearts to die. It causes people to disconnect from God. It causes us to disconnect from all of His resources. It's like a poison in the soul. And we need to, and so often when we speak about this type of thing, we immediately think, oh, there's something wrong with me. I don't have faith and I'm such a horrible person. No, you're not. You just have some poison in your system that you need to get out. The blood of Jesus will wash that away. Restore, make whole. He wants you to believe. A few signs of unbelief is negativity. In certain areas of our lives, negativity, complaining, the words we speak because it flows forth from the unbelief, fear because of the absence of faith, there will be fear, and dreaming small. So when we dream small, it's because there's no faith. If you have faith, Your mind, your heart will be captivated. You start dreaming about the people around you coming to Christ, about unlocking someone's heart with that key from heaven. Every person has a measure of faith. Let's say that I have faith. You have a measure of faith, but God wants to take your faith and increase it because it's your credit card, your debit card. It's your ability to go and shop in the kingdom stores, in the kingdom of heaven. We serve an amazing dad. But this is the cancer of this generation. I mean, how many of us have had exposure with people who have had cancer and even died? It's horrible. I believe God is saying unbelief is worse. Unbelief is worse than physical cancer. The enemy has a field day where there is unbelief. So this morning, I want us to wash some poison out of our systems. Are you ready to wash some unbelief out of our systems and that God will fill us with faith? So Jesus then responds to the dad in verse 23. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Let's say that together. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. It's like your bank account, your kingdom card. It's the blood of Christ. It's filled it up. It's in the millions. So you can go to your heavenly retail park. And you're going around there and now you see the one shop and it says healing. Physical healing is over there. So you're thinking, man, this is awesome. So you go in there and you go receive healing for your soul, for someone else. Or over there you see resources for your seven girls. So you go and shop and say, oh, I would like that provision for my kids. Thank you, Father. I receive it. Or you go over there in another shop called Healing to Your Soul. And maybe you find yourself in depression. You find yourself in a bad place. Now you can go in there and you can receive healing for depression. So beautiful. The one lady that shared with me in church, she's been depressed for about a year. And at our one service, When Heaven Invades Earth, she had an encounter with God. And she says the next morning when she got up, she was a completely different person. She can't imagine the change from depressed, not being able to cope with anything, from now even being able to cope and be joyful in difficult circumstances. It's like a flip. A switch that God flipped on the inside. Now she went to receive from the healing shop. Healing from depression. That's what God wants to do. Or maybe you're battling here. There's this barrenness in your life. You're trusting God for a child. Well, there's a shop called Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And so you can go receive from that shop and say, God, I'm coming. I'm applying my faith on the cross. You've made provision for me. And I'm coming to receive it. Or maybe the doctors have told you, you have cancer, there's no hope for you, there's no way, it's over, game over. Or even maybe in terms of having kids, there's no way you're going to get pregnant. And you take your card, your faith, you walk to your shop, the kingdom shop, and you say, thank you, Jesus, I'm receiving your fullness today. And God will bless you. God wants to. You know, but when we come to 99 out of 100 breakthroughs, then we can say the one that didn't, that's the sovereignty of God. But while we're at 1 or 2 or 3 out of 50 or 10 or 20, then I'm not going to say it's the sovereignty of God. It's our unbelief. Let's get the poison out of our souls. Smith Wigglesworth said, I am not moved by what I see or hear. I am moved by what I believe. Let's say that together. I am not moved by what I see or hear. I am moved by what I believe. This was a man who raised more than 30 people from the dead. And he lived in that space of saying, I don't care what I see. I don't care what I hear. I am moved by faith. I am moved by the kingdom of heaven, not by people's actions or challenges. So Jesus in that verse is saying, if you can believe, all things are possible. So Jesus is saying, it's not about my ability. It's not about my willingness. I am willing and I am able. The question is, do you have faith? And if you don't, just repent and say, God, forgive me. Come and wash out the poison out of my soul and give me more faith. And so I was asking the Lord, okay, God, how? How can we deal with this cancer of unbelief in our society? And I just sense God saying, you believe. Because faith is infectious. You believe. So I want to say this to you, whatever challenge you're facing, you believe because faith is infectious. Now the question is, how do we grow in faith? So you know, you need to have faith. Unbelief is not the will of God. You want the poison out of your system. And this is what I focus on this morning. Faith is found in the Father. 2 weeks ago, we were at Ignite. We were praying. And then the one, I think it was Jessica, she saw a picture of a dad playing with his son on the beach. So we were in praying, and then she saw this picture in her mind's eye. She saw a dad playing with his son on the beach. And at some stage, she saw the dad running onto the waters. Not into the waters, onto the waters, like the song we sang this morning, but onto the waters. And then she saw in the picture the son stopped for a moment, hesitated, and then he joined his dad on the waters. And I think that's so beautiful. That's beautiful. I believe that's a picture of faith. That's a picture of the kingdom coming. It's you and me, like a son or a daughter of our loving Father, just having a good time on the beach. And then the dad says, let's go supernatural. Let's go next level. And dad just naturally runs onto the water. And the boy looks and he joins. And I believe that's what God wants, how he wants us to live. But the key is, it's the Father. It's that relationship with the Father. It's the relationship with the Father. You know, so many of us think there's something wrong with us. Why am I so unbelieving? Why don't I have faith? Why am I always so wrestling with my faith? The solution is simple. Have an encounter with your Heavenly Father. Have an encounter with your loving Heavenly Father. And you will see faith explode in your heart. You will experience faith growing in your heart like never before. So as we were in this Ignite meeting, I felt so powerfully the presence of God washing over me and the voice of God saying, faith is found in the Father. And so I've been meditating on this the last week and a half or so, and it's so resonating in me. You know, it's easy to just hold on, to cope. Coping faith is not so hard. You just sort of go through the motions. But to move forward and to change your environment, to see next level faith in terms of the kingdom of God manifestly coming, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. And I sense God is saying, if you are just in my presence, if you just connect with me as your dad, faith is going to explode in your heart. I face this every time before we go somewhere like missions or a weekend. We go minister at churches and people have this expectation and they have these challenges. And every time it's like this wrestling. Oh, should I do something? Should I pray harder? How am I going to unlock the fullness of God so that people's lives can be changed? I sense God is saying, faith is found in the Father. It's not about working more for it. It's about just receiving it. As you connect with Him. As you connect with Him. So, faith is found in the Father. Two things. First thing is, in His presence. That means, in His presence. The moment you are in His presence, faith grows in your heart. So it's like, previous night, you're on the mountaintop. Like, if you come to Ignite, guys, woo, it's good. It's good. You're missing out. Some of you are missing out. But it's like going to the mountaintop And then next morning when you get up, it's like you feel like you're in the valley again. It's like, sure, what happened there? Was that God? And now realizes, well, just go up the mountain again. Get back into his presence. Get back into his presence. So many of us have these moments, and then we live outside of his presence, and then we wonder, why didn't I have faith? We see it with many people in ministry as well. We often see it also with pastors' wives. They're under lots of pressure. And so we see it in church groups and so forth. We see, you know, the husband is seeking God and he's going for it and he's in good space, but the wife is busy with the kids and with other challenges and maybe also work, etc. And so she's not spending time with the Lord. It's a nightmare. Because then the enemy comes for the vulnerable one. You are vulnerable if you're not on the mountaintop. You are vulnerable when you're not living in the presence of God. You are vulnerable to temptation. You are vulnerable to unbelief. But when you get back into his presence, you believe again. Okay, so faith is found in the Father, meaning in his presence. And then secondly, in who he is. Knowing that he's good. Okay, those two things. I want to focus now on the second one. Knowing who he is. I want to share a few verses with you and just discuss. I'm trusting that you're going to get a revelation of who the Father is. But daily repositioning in his presence. In his presence. The moment I am in the presence of God, I have faith. When I'm outside of his presence, I have zip, zippity-doo-dah. Because faith doesn't come from me. Faith comes from the Father. Faith comes from God. And that's why God is calling us to live in his presence. Jesus had that relationship with the Father. That same Father-Son relationship will unlock faith in us like nothing else. That same Father-Son relationship will unlock faith like nothing else. There is no greater security, no greater comfort than a child with his dad, his loving, good dad in his arms. And so God wants us to live in that same space. Overwhelming encounters with the extravagant love of our Heavenly Father will do much to dismantle unbelief. Overwhelming encounters with the extravagant love of our Heavenly Father will do much to dismantle unbelief. It's beautiful how we sang this morning about the love of God. It was not planned, but it's just beautiful how he loves us. When you realize, when you get a revelation of how much he loves you, you will believe. You will have faith. Because you know, Dad's with me. Let's do this. Dad is with you. God longs to speak to you even more than you want to hear from him. God longs to speak to you even more than you want to hear from him. Okay, so let's look at this. Our Father. Let's say that. Our Father. It's not just the Father, like the God Father. Capiche? You disrespect me, I will hurt you. And I think sometimes we think of our Heavenly Father like that, you know. Just look at him wrong and you're in trouble. You disrespect me, boy. We are made for the Father's love. You and I, we are made for the Father's love. We are designed to experience the love of our Heavenly Father. Our greatest confidence flows from knowing that our Heavenly Father loves us and celebrates us. He loves you and celebrates you. He loves you and celebrates you. When we were in India, we had an amazing time with the Lord the one day, and I was just experiencing so the love of the Father. It is incredible. The measure of faith that gets unlocked in your heart when you encounter God the Father. It's amazing. And then I felt God speak to me and said, tell my people, I'm not angry. Tell my people, I'm not angry. I felt God saying, this message must go to the nations. Because we normally respond in the way, I'm not good enough, and Dad's angry, or the father is angry with me. And, you know, we so respond to the negative, especially when we sin or fail. Our head drops, and we become ashamed, and we feel guilty, and we feel we can't go to church, and we can't approach him. He's angry. He's angry. I haven't read my Bible for 2 weeks. I know some of you haven't. But it's okay. The Father is saying, come to him. Come and experience his amazing love. Let him set you free. Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. He's a father to the fatherless. He's the father of everyone. He is your dad. He is Abba. Abba, Father, your dad. Psalm 8, verse 4 to 6. This is a beautiful verse. Send it to a few people this week. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? So the psalm is like, God, what is this? Why is your mind, why is your thoughts full of man? And why do you visit him? What is it? What is God, what is it with your obsession with people? You see, you can take this verse and you can declare this over your life, that right now, the mind, the heart of the Father, his thoughts is full of you. He's thinking of you right now. Right now, he's thinking of you, thinking about each of us, thinking of Stephen and Leonie, thinking of Brett. And each of us thinking about us, thinking, wanting to be with you, wanting to spend time with you. Our Heavenly Father is absolutely obsessed with you because he loves you so much. That's what love does. That's why you exist. Our Heavenly Father is thinking of you. Our God is relentless in his faithfulness to us. He will never give up on us. Our Father is relentless in our pursuit of each and every one of us. He will not give up on you. So can I challenge you? Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. Don't say, well, I'm just destined to be an unbelieving so-and-so. Always doubting. Always wondering. Always sort of just everybody else is connecting with God. Yeah, it's just me again, you know. It's not for me. How do you mean it's not for you? How do you mean that Jesus died for every person on the face of the earth so that they can have intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father, but not you? I'm sorry, you're not that special. It is impossible for you to not have intimate fellowship with the Father. It is impossible for you to not have intimate fellowship with the Father, because Jesus has done it all on the cross. All you must do is say, I believe. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to make it my own. My Heavenly Father loves me. He's for me. He visits me, as this verse says. And his heart and mind is full of me. Stop making unbelieving excuses. Stop making doctrines around unbelief. Stop believing like a child. He loves you. He wants to be with you. So it says there as well, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. He has crowned you with glory and honor. He is that which is upon him, he has now released unto you. His glory, his honor. He says, I'm going to share it with my kids. I'm going to give my presence to them. He visits you because you are a daddy magnet. Let's say that I am a daddy magnet. You see, the religious mindset gets offended with things like this. Because the religious mindset says, I'm a servant and God is angry or whatever, and he's big and he wants to keep me at a distance, and I must work, I must work, I must work to please him because he's angry. But I must work. If I pray enough, then I'm going to have favor. When I serve enough, do enough, then I'm going to have favor. No. You know how a son, a daughter of God operates? I have favor because I'm his child. Now I live from that favor. Now I serve and work with him. Our Heavenly Father is love. How dare we say our Heavenly Father is angry? He is love. Bible doesn't say he is angry. No. Yes, he can get angry. But he is love. He is love. Let's say that. Our Heavenly Father is love. He loves me. Amen. God is with you. Another we've been having WhatsApp groups with lots of posting on it, so I'm putting some of that in here. Someone said, to do anything significant in life, you must reject the spirit of inferiority. Know who God made you to be. You are royalty. You are his son or his daughter. You are a son or a daughter of the King. Reject the spirit of inferiority. Reject the box that I don't have intimacy with God. Reject the box that says I am not spiritual. Reject the box that says I don't believe. God has given you a measure of faith you can believe. Romans 8 verse 15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. A kingdom credit card. Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Everything that is Christ's becomes ours. An ungodly spirit, that spirit of bondage that brings fear. Always trying to please the angry God. The Holy Spirit says to us, in Christ you are holy. In Christ you qualify. In Christ you are safe. And you can say, Daddy. Daddy God, who loves you, who's good. And that needs to come to that. You need to realize that. You need to get a revelation, understanding of this. I am loved. I'm his son. He backs me. It will flip your life around. We work not for his favor, but we work from his favor. You have favor. Old Testament was you had to work for the favor. New Testament is you have favor, and now you can serve. Now you can, with God, work together. So we are co-heirs with Christ. And we were praying. I saw like a picture. Saints, God has a mansion. Our dad lives in a mansion. Did you know that? Did you know that? It's called heaven. It's not also a smart plek. Streets of gold. Streets of gold. Our God has deep pockets. He has deep pockets. And he comes to us and says, well, what do you need? And deep pockets doesn't just mean finances. It means more than that. But God, the Father, Dad comes to us and he says, what do you need? And he takes out his checkbook and he is ready to write. Now you're probably thinking, where does this guy get these things, huh? This is in the Bible, is it? Could this be in the Bible? Yes, it is. It's called the blank check promises. Blank check promises. Look at this. John chapter 15, verse 7. I'm just going to read four verses. And we're going to end off with a video. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me, this is Jesus speaking, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's in the scrif. Kijk net daar. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now the religious mindset will probably get an excuse why this isn't relevant for us anymore. I don't know. It's in my Bible. Well, okay, let's look for another one that says the same thing. Verse 16, another blank check promise. Jesus saying, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You have been chosen. Let's say that I have been chosen by God. I am special. Indeed, you are. And it says, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Woo! Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Okay, if you're not persuaded yet, John 14:14. If you ask anything, say anything, in my name, I will do it. Blank check. What do you need? What do you need? Oh, let's do another one. Verse John 16:23-24. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Jesus, you'll not ask me. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask and you will receive. Let's say that together. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. God wants to give you joy. He wants to answer your prayers. It can be said that if it matters to you, it matters to him. It can be said, if it matters to you, it matters to him. Because he loves you. And then the last verse, different verse. And this is an invitation, Proverbs 20:21. It's about an inheritance, co-heirs with Christ. It says, an inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. In other words, if you get something too quickly and too easily, you're not going to value it. So the kingdom has been set up. God says, ask and you shall receive. But you're going to have to fight for it. You have to press in for it. You have to keep believing and keep believing and keep believing until breakthrough. So many of us, some of us want to go home and say, oh, this pastor said you're asking, you shall receive. I ask. Nothing. Doesn't work. Load of rubbish. Let's move on. No. An inheritance quickly gained is easily lost. And I sense this. If the Lord gives you a promise, he says, I'm going to do this through your life. This is what I'm planning for you. This is my promise to you. What do you need to do with that? Start scheming and strategizing. No. The promise makes you desperate for more of God. Makes you desperate that God, if you don't pitch, if you don't arrive, if you don't manifest your glory, this won't be. The promise is there to make us hungry, to start dreaming and believing, and to press into until that place where we see the manifestation of the promise. Don't give up. Don't give up so easily. God will not give up on you. He will not give up on you. So I'm going to show us a video clip in a moment, if we can close the blinds. It's about a father and a son. I'm sure some of you have seen this. The dad's name is Dick Hoyt, and the son is Rick Hoyt. He was born with cerebral palsy, and so he's completely incapacitated. He uses a computer with a special program so he can able to type some things with his thoughts or something like that. And so he says that dad. So one day he says to his dad, Dad, one day I want to do an Iron Man. That's his request to his dad, sort of just dreaming. Close the back ones as well. Well, I'll just give it a second. We can close now. Let me just read this. His dad recently had a heart attack. So dad is 48 years old. He's never done an Ironman. He's 48 years old. His boy, who's in a wheelchair, says, Dad, I would love to do an Ironman. So the dad decides, he's recently had a heart attack as well, but he decides he's going to go for it. So Ironman is 4 kilometers swim, 200 kilometers cycle, and 40 kilometers run. This dad is going to do it with his son. So he got a boat, and he would pull his son for 4 kilometers swimming. He would put him on the bicycle, special bicycle, and cycle for 200 kilometers. And then he would a special wheelchair and run for 40 kilometers. And so you're going to see a video now. But they made it just before the cutoff. They made it. And I just think it's so inspirational. So the interviewer at the end says to the dad, you could have done so well if it hadn't had... if you didn't have to carry your son all the way. And so the dad's response was, I wouldn't have done it without my son. He is my inspiration. I wouldn't have done it without my son. He is my inspiration. And so as we watch this, I want to speak this over you. Your heavenly Father, he can do it better without us, but he doesn't want to. You are his inspiration. But that speaks to me so of the Father's love. Our Heavenly Father. I mean, the dad hears his boy, says, Dad, I'd so love to do an Ironman one day. And the dad makes it happen. How much more would our Heavenly Father not make it happen for us? Because he loves us. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to do incredible things. It's amazing. The son doesn't take one step or one swimming stroke, yet he wins with his dad. Because his dad loves him. And I so believe that is what God is saying. Faith is found in the Father. Faith is found in that intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father. Where you know, my dad loves me. My dad is with me. My dad is for me. And as we're just playing along on the beach, my dad runs onto the waters and so I join him. And that's what God wants to do. He doesn't want to do it without you. You are his inspiration.